السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ. اشہد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. گزشتہ خطبے میں میں نے
حضور says that in the previous week's Friday sermon I related some accounts and experiences of the promised Messiah alayhi salam's companions preaching efforts. I mentioned that there were some accounts that remain which I would relate in the future. Thus today I will present some of those accounts. The main purpose of presenting these accounts is that, as I have explained numerous times in the past, so people first of all pray for these Sahaba, these companions of the promised Messiah, Anum be peace, who accepted the promised Messiah alayhi salam, to be amongst those who share in the blessings of this age. May Allah the Almighty continue to elevate the rank of these companions. Otherwise, it is quite plausible that many amongst us would have been deprived of these blessings granted by God. The second purpose for presenting these accounts is so that their piety, their courage of belief, their honor for their religion, their passion for serving the religion can permeate and infuse into their future generations and descendants, as well as those who may not have direct blood ties with them, but who have a spiritual connection with those companions, can, as a result of that connection, infuse within them a zeal and a passion, and by doing so, they can advance the sentiments and also heartfelt passion of those elders. And so that they can continue that into their future generations. Only when we do this will we be doing full justice to the favor that these elders have bestowed upon us. Many a people write to me, and often they also inform me when they come to meet me in person, that you mentioned such and such elder, and I am related to them in this and this way. But it should always be remembered that one can only do full justice to these relationships when they follow the footsteps of those elders. Therefore, realizing our responsibilities to maintain that relationship and striving to do so is something we must always keep in view. The first account I will mention today is of Hadrat Mia Jamaluddin Sahib. He states that a Maulvi whose name was Nawabuddin, from the tribe of Arai in the district Amritsar. In his own presumption, would state that I am rectifying the Mirzais, and he would travel village to village in this endeavor. He says, in Moza Taragar al-Mashur Nawabind, which was near to his home in the north. As soon as he arrived, he started causing a hue and cry that if there is any Mirzai, he should come before me. He says, because there was no Ahmadi before me in the village, and all there were fierce opponents of the Jamaat. Some who are acquainted with me consulted and then sent a person to me who said that come and challenge with this Maulvi here. His village was nearby to the village where the Maulvi came. I pondered that these people are mere spectators. They have no interest whatsoever with the truth and the facts. Ultimately, only disorder results from these people. I said that Hadhrat Sahib, the promised Messiah alayhi salam, has said to us that we must not take part in meaningless debates. Hazrat says, this was the era when the promised Messiah alayhi salam forbid for Ahmadis to take part in debates because the Maulvis were unaffected by them. So I said that the promised Messiah alayhi salam is forbidden for us to take part in debate. If you take responsibility for any disorder that breaks out, we will come to your village. Maulvi Sahib should present his criticisms once, and we shall provide the reply to them once, rather than any debate taking place. People can decide for themselves. Or we, the people in the village, can be responsible for any disorder breaking out, and Maulvi Sahib can come here. So that person took the message to his village. The Maulvi, along with three persons, came to that village through some other route. And he met the village esquire, who was a Hindu by faith. The Maulvi said, if there is any Mirzai here, bring him here to debate or challenge me. The esquire sent somebody to fetch me. I had already been informed of the Maulvi's arrival. Thus I supplicated to the noble God that, O Allah, I am helpless and ignorant and without knowledge. All I ask for is your blessings. Clarify the truth and the reality. After the supplication, the Maulvi had arrived. Many Muslims and Hindus had gathered. A carpet or a mat was laid out. The Maulvi and I sat in the middle. There was quiet for a short while. Then I started speaking to the Maulvi and said, Maulvi Sahib, what is the reason that you travel around here and there? Maulvi Sahib responded, there is great dissension amongst the community of Muslims. I travel around to reform and rectify them. Upon this, I replied, up till now, to what extent have you reformed people? And how many certificates have you received from the scholars regarding you being a reformer? The Maulvi Sahib said, yes, I have received such certificates. Show me these certificates then, I responded. Then Maulvi Sahib said, I have left behind those certificates in my village. And he quickly said that my real objective is that because Mirza Sahib causes dissension, is a disbeliever himself, God forbid, and turns other people into disbeliever, I debate with such persons. He says, I then said to the Maulvi that, do tell me the reason why you believe him to be a disbeliever, and what is the point of your debate? Maulvi Sahib said, you are speaking in Urdu, I shall speak in Arabic. So then I said that I cannot speak Arabic. So then the Maulvi Sahib said, we can speak in Punjabi. I said, this would be excellent. Then Maulvi Sahib said, tell me what your faith is. I said, first you tell me what your faith is. Maulvi Sahib said that, I am a Hanafi, and I believe God to be one and without partner, and I believe Muhammad the Messenger to be true, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And I believe Jesus, peace be upon him, based on the 20 verses of the Holy Quran, and correct hadith, to be alive in the fourth heaven with that being. He who rejects this, I believe him to be a kafir or a disbeliever. And my knowledge is certified. Now you tell me what your faith is and what your education is. Upon this humble one said, that I believe God to be one and without partner, and Muhammad, the Messenger, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, to be Khatamun Nabiyeen, the seed of all the prophets. And I believe Jesus, peace be upon him, of the children of Israel, based on the Quran and Hadith, to have passed away. And I believe that the expected Messiah and Mahdi was to come from this Ummah of Muslims. I believe that the claim made by Mirza Ghulam Ahmad alayhi salam of being the Messiah and the Mahdi to be true with my heart sincerely. He who does not believe this, I believe him to not be following the truth. I do not have any certified knowledge of religious education, etc. I have carried out self-study. Further, I have benefited from the blessed company of the promised Messiah alayhi salam. Further, I declare that if anyone can prove, based on clear verses of the Holy Quran and Mutasil Marfu Hadith, that is, such hadith with the chain of the narrators directly reaches the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Jesus, son of Mary, Isa ibn Maryam, is alive in the fourth heavens with that being, and that he remains alive until today, that I am ready to repent. He said, this is what I said to the Mulvi Sahib. Mulvi Sahib responded, fine, write this declaration down, sign it, and send it to me. I asked for a pen and paper, I wrote down this declaration, signed it, and gave it over to the Mulvi Sahib. The Mulvi Sahib took the paper and said, do you believe the previous commentaries? I said, those commentaries that are in accordance with the Quran and Hadith, I accept. Mulvi Sahib then said, do you know the Holy Quran? I said, yes, I know the Holy Quran. Then Mulvi Sahib said, what is the meaning of Quran? I knew that he just wanted to have a debate, so I responded that I will not reply to your question. First, let us resolve the first matter we were discussing. Mulvi Sahib then said, what is the meaning of Zalik al-Kitabu? To which I replied that, first, let us collect together those questions for the matter which we have gathered for and raise objections regarding that. I will respond to those first. Then Mulvi Sahib asked that, how many verses are there in the Holy Quran? I then said that, once again, you are diverting the matter. Mulvi Sahib then said, how can I know that you really know the Holy Quran? Upon this, I said, with the grace of Almighty Allah, I know the Holy Quran better than you. I say on oath. That I will provide you with the answers to your questions within this gathering and will not enter into any meaningless debate. Mulvi Sahib then asked about the previous commentators and also the statement of the Khulafa'i Rashideen. I truly believe in this. And the statements of Hadrat Abu Bakr, Hadrat Umar, Hadrat Usman, and Hadrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah be pleased with them all, are all accepted by me, and further, I comprehend all the statements. As the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, has stated, عَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّةِ وَبِسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ رَاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِينَ. For you is my tradition and that of the companions. You have limited Khilafah to only those four Khulafa. We believe Mirza Sahib to be Khalifatullah, the Khalifa of Allah. In fact, we believe his way to be the practice of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In short, Mulvi Sahib spent half an hour talking here and there. Then Mulvi Sahib said, the Holy Quran cannot be understood without reading the commentaries. I said, this is wrong. If it was true that learning the Holy Quran was dependent upon the commentaries, then if there were no commentaries, then would it mean the Quran could not be understood? This is not what was decreed by Allah the Almighty. The Holy Quran professes, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّنَ الْقُرْآنَ أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ, that the Holy Quran is not dependent upon anything. In any case, the Mawlvi Sahib would not speak on the actual matter at hand, and would instead speak around the subject. Ultimately, the esquire of the village said to the Mawlvi that, present the verses of the Holy Quran which can prove that Jesus, peace be upon him, raised bodily to heaven. The Mawlvi Sahib said, yes, I will present the Holy Quran's verses regarding this, but this person will not accept it. The esquire replied that if he does not accept it, other people will. The Mawlvi Sahib was compelled to say, bring the Holy Quran. A Holy Quran, the translation of which was published in Delhi, was brought. It was given to the Mawlvi Sahib in his hand. As soon as he received it, he stated, this is the Quran of Mirza. I cannot take this. I said, this is absolutely not the Quran of Mirza. Open your eyes. Mawlvi Sahib then repeated this again. I said, Lanatullahi lil Kazibin, a curse be upon the liars, three times. Mawlvi Sahib took the Holy Quran in his hand. He looked at the name of the press that published it and said, "Who wrote this?" I said, "God forbid. Do you not believe the Quran to be the word of God? You ask who wrote it?" Mulvi Sahib said, no, this is my error. Who wrote this?" I said, "Mulvi Sahib, come into your senses and find the verses of the Holy Quran yourself." Mulvi Sahib opened the Holy Quran and he started searching through it. He spent 20 minutes and he could not find any relevant verse. Ultimately, I said, "Mulvi Sahib, you said you could prove this from 20 verses of the Holy Quran. If you cannot find one, find the second verse. If you cannot find a second verse, find the third verse of the Holy Quran." Mulvi Sahib finally said, "I cannot find any verse, but I shall present a verse verbally." So the Mulvi Sahib said, "There is no verse that I can find in the Holy Quran, but verbally I shall state a verse." The Mulvi Sahib stated, وَإِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا إِسَىٰ إِنِّي مُتَوَفِّيكَ. The Mulvi Sahib translated this as, "When Allah said, 'O Jesus, I am about to raise your spirit along with your entire body to heaven,' I responded that, 'Mulvi Sahib, bring forth the actual verse with the words from the Holy Quran, then we shall discuss.' He then spent another 10 minutes sifting through and could not find any relevant verse. People started mocking the Mulvi and said, 'What kind of knowledge of the Quran do you have? You cannot even find one well-known verse.' People left the gathering whilst ridiculing him. I mentioned a similar account last time, but that was a separate incident. In any case, this is a normal attitude of the so-called ulama or religious clerics. Hadrat Munshi Mahbub Alim Sahib relates that Hakim Muhammad Ali Sahib, Mojadru Jeevan Bhutti Shahi, a physician from Jammu Kashmir, had settled in Lahore after taking out a pension. I would work with him. He would often oppose the promised Messiah, whom be peace, and would utilize profane and abusive language against him. One day during a conversation, this Hakim Sahib used the word dayus regarding the promised Messiah alayhi salam, meaning ignoble and shameless. I prayed profusely at night and said istighfar, begging forgiveness that why did I ever even talk to such a person who has acted so immorally. However, at night, Allah the Almighty showed me in a dream. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, is in the house of the late Mia Jiragdin Sahib. I am also alongside the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. I said, Assalamu alaikum, to the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, who replied, Wa alaikum assalam. He then asked me, that where is that person who calls me a dayus, or ignoble or shameless? I looked outside and saw Muhammad Ali coming. I said, Hazur, to the promised Messiah alayhi salam, Muhammad Ali Hakim is coming this way. The promised Messiah alayhi salam said, say to him, we do not meet you because you are dayus or ignoble. Only a few weeks passed after this dream and look at how Allah takes his revenge. The daughter of the Hakim Sahib ran off with a clerk, but the Gujranwala police caught them. The clerk claimed that this girl is my wife, whereas the girl said that this man works for me. Their statements contradicted each other and therefore the police were suspicious. They were taken off the train at the Gujranwala police station and presented to the deputy commissioner. There the girl said, my father is dayus or ignoble. He does not have me married. Hazur says the daughter of the Hakim Sahib is saying this herself. So the daughter said that out of obligation I am going with this person to a Nawabzadeh. And she related various incidents. The commissioner said, your father has been insulted, now return to him. But she refused to go and said, my father would kill me. So the deputy commissioner stated that we will make arrangements. And the daughter was handed over to the Lahore deputy commissioner and then finally handed over to the father. However, it was said that a bail should be taken or a guarantee that he will not harm her. Thus, the deputy commissioner searched for Hakim Sahib. When he found her, he said, you are a great dayus or ignoble. Hazur said, therefore, for the second time, the father was called dayus or ignoble. And the commissioner said that you do not look after your daughter. You are shameless. You do not arrange for the marriage of your grown-up daughter. First, provide 5,000 rupees bail, then the daughter will be handed over to you. In this way, revenge was taken. A further terrifying end that he faced was that after a short while, he became known all over the city as dayus or ignoble. Everyone would call him dayus. And even after, that same daughter ran away and became Christian. Hadrat Amir Khan Sahib states that upon the demise of Hadrat Khalif Domsi I, when I heard that Jozi Ghulam Ahmad Sahib has become a Peghami who joined the Lahoris, I went to meet him and I informed him of the realities and facts. He was positively affected and he repented from his previous thoughts and he came to Guardian. Similarly, I preached to Jori Nimet Khan Sahib, a sub-judge in Moza Kiri. He became Ahmadi after a short while. When he was in One, I heard that his thoughts were becoming inclined towards the Lahoris. I started exchanging letters with him and finally he reformed himself his own state. Hazur says, with the grace of Almighty Allah, the numbers of these Peghamis or Lahoris are very less now. In the last few years, wherever they still remain, a large number of them have converted to Ahmadiyyat with the grace of Almighty Allah. Hazrat Maulvi Abdullah Sahib narrates that once I went to meet the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. The promised Messiah a.s. was standing in a certain place and a companion was standing alongside him. The companion saw me and said to the promised Messiah a.s. that this is Maulvi Abdullah Khiriwala. We have held great debates alongside him, that is, debates relating to preaching. In every field he has always come out victorious. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, stated, indeed, truth always comes out victorious. The narrator said, when I heard these blessed words of the promised Messiah, I was reassured and extremely happy and certain that these words came from the promised Messiah. I was expecting that I would always remain on the truth and Allah would always grant me victory. From that day until now, Allah the Almighty has never caused me to suffer defeat. Hadrat Chaudhry Muhammad Ali Sahib narrates that my father went to attend Jalsa Salana at Sialkot. When he returned, he started carrying out tabligh or preaching. He had himself done the bid, the Pledge of Allegiance, and then returned. Through his preaching, the people of Ghatialia were becoming Ahmadis in multitudes. I heard from Ghulam Rasul Basra Sahib, when the promised Messiah saw that multitudes of people were becoming Ahmadi in Ghatialia, he said, is Ghatialia a village or a city? Upon this, the brother of Jodhi Muhammad Ali Sahib, this is a further endorsement of the same narration. Hazrat Sheikh Abdul Rashid Sahib relates that Maulvi Muhammad Ali Sahib Kopri, a non-Ahmadi, would visit her. He had an extremely good voice. Many women would attend his sermons. His voice was melodious, including his tone, etc. His recitation was good, his voice was good, and his melody was good. He would stay there for 2 to 3 months on end. He started opposing the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. And he would also utilize foul and profane language. We held discussions and debates with him. My father responded by removing me from the home. My mother was more strict because she was under the strong influence of that Maulvi. My parents said that we will disown you. I had to remain away from home for months on end. My mother would say to my father, he used to be completely unconcerned for their religion. He would sleep most of the time. Now he offers prayers regularly. He even offers tahajjud. On what basis should I disown him? Hazur says, on the one hand, they opposed the promised Messiah a.s. and said they would disown him. But on the other hand, they realized that since he became an Ahmadi, he had transformed his own self. The narrator said, keeping in view materialistic desires, they would say that leave Mirzayat. I would always respond that, explain to me. I had numerous discussions with Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Sahib. Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Sahib owed us some money. My father would send me to ask him for the money. Coincidentally, once Maulvi Sahib published a poster in which he rejected the concept of a bloody messiah. And he said it is based on fabricated hadith or traditions, as he says. In other words, there is no evidence for them or their authenticity. This poster reached the promised Messiah alayhi salam. When he saw this, he prepared an investigation. And Dr. Muhammad Ismail Sahib of Gurgaon was sent to this Maulvi. They went to the ulama to obtain a fatwa. Some ulama, religious clerics, provided a fatwa while some would not. Dr. Sahib would state, that is, when he reached the city of Maulvi Muhammad Hussain Sahib, he was sent to obtain an edict from the non-Ahmadi Muslims to investigate what they would say. Some gave edicts against him while some avoided giving any edicts. In any case, he states that Dr. Saab, who was sent there for the investigation to the various Maulvis to obtain the edicts by the promised Messiah on whom be peace. That at times I would give grapes and other fruits to the Maulvis, and they would give me edicts accordingly. Hazur says they would give gifts to the Maulvis, present some fruits, who would then say, take any edict you want from us. Hazur said this still prevails today, although the only difference is the rate has increased. He says that although the Maulvis had refused giving edicts previously, they would still give it after once we gave them some gifts. The promised Messiah alayhi salam would partially cover his face with part of his turban and smile at this anecdote. He said, I was aware of this poster and the edict he had given. Subsequently, when I would debate with Maulvi Hussain Sahib, I would mention that your creed regarding the Mahdi is what you have published, that the bloody Mahdi will not come. Regarding this, you say that the hadith are weak, are unreliable, and there is no evidence for them. Yet you claim in public that the Mahdi will come. Why are you providing contradictory statements? Why do you not present what you truly believe? He would not, however, provide me with any reply, and would always say that go and become Mirzai. What have you got to do with this? Hazrat Sheikh Muhammad Ismail Sahib, son of Sheikh Masita Sahib, said that it once occurred that after the Asr prayer, the promised Messiah alayhi salam remained in Masjid Mubarak. A new friend said that a Maulvi visited our village. At night, the non-Ahmadis made him to stand upon the roof of a house and to deliver a sermon. We also went there, where he related the hadith of La Nabi Abadi and incited people into great passion and said repeatedly, look people, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said this, that there will be no prophet after me, whereas Mirza Sahib of Qadian says, I am a prophet and I am a messenger. He then said in Punjabi that what shall we do? How can we believe Mirza Sahib to be a Nabi and a Rasul, a prophet and a messenger? The narrator said, I stood up and I said, Maulvi Sahib, when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that after Masjid Nabvi, there will be no mosque, how will you interpret this statement? I will interpret the hadith regarding there being no mosque after the Prophet's mosque as in the same way you interpret the hadith regarding no prophet coming after the Holy Prophet. Any so-called prophet who would cancel the Sharia brought by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cannot truly be a prophet, because the Holy Prophet's Sharia or law is a final law. No prophet can come bringing any new law. In any case, the Maulvi Sahib looked astonished and started hurling abuse. This is what happens when they have no reply. I said that we will not respond to your abuse. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, was extremely happy to hear what this friend said and smiled considerably. Hazur says, this same issue is raised today. Most of the time, people's minds are being poisoned by exactly such statements, because they state that there can be no prophet after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whereas these Ahmadis believe Mirza Sahib to be a prophet. In Pakistan, the actual opposition is based on this very issue, and through this they incite others. Mukarram Mia Sharafat Ahmed Sahib relates the account of his late father, Hadrat Maulvi Jalaluddin Sahib. He writes that my father was extremely enthusiastic about serving the faith, and even in an elderly age he would surpass the efforts of younger people. In one of the Friday sermons of 1934, in the era of Hadrat Khalifa Masih II, he called his father's passing away a martyrdom, and he acknowledged that he worked more than young people. Hadrat Khalifa Masih II said that, I have observed three people who work like madmen in preaching efforts. Firstly, the late Hafiz Roshan Ali Sahib. Second is this Maulvi, and third is Maulvi Ghulam Rasul Sahib Rajiki. These three neither see day or night, but remain engrossed fully in preaching. This is another account of Mia Sharafat Ahmed Sahib regarding his late father, Maulvi Jalaluddin Sahib. He writes that, my father would relate a dream regarding his preaching efforts, which I will write down here. He said, once I saw in a dream that the promised Messiah, unknown be peace, comes to our house or our village. I cannot recall exactly which one it was. And he asked me for a pen. After this, I wake up. After some time, I go to Qadian. I took along with me two reje of white color, which was washed by the dobi, whose job it is to wash clothes. Hazur says, reje is a Punjabi word, a piece of cloth or a long piece of cloth. So he said, I took this along with me, as well as two pen holders of different colors, and presented this as a gift to the promised Messiah alayhi salam. I asked him about the interpretation of asking for a pen in my dream. The promised Messiah alayhi salam compassionately accepted my humble request and said, you have fulfilled your dream. The pen means that you should serve the faith both in writing and verbally. My father would relate that after that moment, I would use all my energy and efforts and capabilities to carry out preaching. Alhamdulillah, his preachings bore fruit. Both his brothers became Ahmadis. One of them was a renowned scholar in the area, Maulvi Muhammad Ali Sahib Sakhnazira of District Ferozpur. When the opponents came to learn that both these brothers had become Ahmadis, then they were utterly shaken and dismayed. Muhammad Ali Bordia and Mahmud Shah, they left weeping. They were both non-Ahmadis. They departed weeping and crying, embracing each other as if a close relation had passed away because they had become Ahmadis. Through the efforts of Maulvi Sahib in Zira District, Ferozpur, Kharepur, Ludheke Ratnewala, Ludhiani, all had jamaats established. Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah. Another account of Miyash Sharaf Adami Sahib relating his father, Maulvi Jalaluddin Sahib, is that my father in 1924 went to Malkana for tabligh, for preaching. There he preached to the Banjaro and the Malkana people. Apart from these groups of people, he also established connections with the local people. He would meet and preach to people in his ripped and ragged clothes. Seeing this, the people of the area were completely amazed that a person of 70, 80 years old holding his bag is going around in his ragged clothes with a passion to make people Muslim and accept Ahmadiyyat. And they were very positively influenced by these people, would give donations to him because they thought that this community is making good efforts. Through his efforts and endeavors, many people joined the movement. Hafiz Ghulam Rasool Sahib Wazirabadi states that the promised Messiah alayhi salam, in the house of Mia Bashir Ahmed Sahib, the house leading to covered alleyways, he was underneath there. He gathered many people and said, I have established a high school so that people can be educated here and then carry out preaching outside. But it is unfortunate that people, after acquiring knowledge, they then continue their businesses and my objective is not fulfilled. Is there anyone who would dedicate his son purely to acquire religious knowledge? At the time, my late son, Maulvi Abedullah, who was very young, was alongside me. I handed him over to the promised Messiah alayhi salam. The promised Messiah alayhi salam held his hand in his blessed hand, and he handed him over to Maulvi Fazluddin Sahib Sial Koti, who was an assistant in Madrasa Ahmadiyyat, and said, hand this boy over to Mufti Muhammad Sadiq Sahib. In those days, the headmaster of Madrasa Ahmadiyyat was Mufti Sahib. In short, he was admitted to Madrasa Ahmadiyyat and then became a great scholar. Hadrat Khalifatul Masih II, in his era of Khilafat, sent him as a missionary to Mauritius. He carried out preaching for nearly 7 years there. Finally, in divine wisdom, Allah the Almighty caused him to die. After that, his wife and one daughter and one son were left behind. In accordance with the instructions of Hadrat Khalifatul Masih II, in 1924, I brought them back. After 2 years, his wife Fatima Bibi, who was the daughter of my younger brother Hafiz Ghulam Muhammad Sahib, passed away. She was also an extremely eloquent preacher. So he says, the wife of the son was also an excellent preacher, is what is written. May Allah have mercy and forgive her. He says that now both children are under my care and my moral upbringing. This is an old letter he writes. The girl is married and the boy whose name is Bashiruddin lives with me. He is studying in Madrasa Ahmadiyya. It is my heartfelt desire that after his studies, he should take the place of the late Maulvi Abidullah Sahib, the martyr. Hazur says, with the grace of Almighty Allah, he did gain the opportunity. Hazrat Khalif Tamsir II sent him to Mauritius and he stayed there for quite some time. Perhaps his children live here now. None of his progeny went on to become missionaries, but in any case, this person also carried out preaching in Mauritius and he served there for a long period of time. Mir Sharafat Ahmed Sahib writes further about his late father, Hazrat Maulvi Jalaluddin Sahib. He said he was going to Ganuga Nangle to lead the Jummah, the Friday prayers. On the way, as he started feeling hungry, he bought some chickpeas for 2 paise. He cleaned off his clothes and after eating his chickpeas, he prepared to travel on. As soon as he left, heat wave struck him. It was the summer, he fell unconscious and fell on the floor. A passerby went to a police station and reported that a Qadiani Maulvi Sahib is lying on the road with a heat stroke. A policeman who knew him came running. He could not find any horse, carriage or any other mode of transport along the way. He supported him up and brought him near to the town. The heat wave was blowing quite strongly from in front. There was no energy left in him. There was a terrace outside the town and he lay down upon that. Many people said, keep going on, but he said, no, I have gone as far as I needed to. People gave him medicine, but none of them had any effect. Many said, we shall send a telegram to your son. He said, my son is quite young, he will become worried. I leave everything to God. After these few words, where he said that he wanted to serve his master, and in complete obedience and in complete submission, he returned to his Lord. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. The narrator says that the seer's funeral was offered by non-Ahmadis because there were no Ahmadis there, and they buried him. May Allah the Almighty grant them reward. On the second or third day, Ahmadis came to know about his death, and they informed me, that is his son, and also Hadrat Khalifa Masih II. Hazur mentioned him in the Friday prayers and led his funeral prayer in abstention. He had done wasiyat, therefore his tombstone was placed in Beshti Makbara. May Allah the Almighty continue to elevate the rank of all these past elders. And may their spirit continue to be infused within us and future generations for all times to come. Now I shall present some extracts of the promised Messiah, Anun be peace. In one place he states, I consider those Maulvis erroneous who are against modern sciences. In fact, they do so to hide their own faults and weaknesses. They have it embedded in their heads that researching modern sciences turns one against Islam and leads one astray. They have declared that intellect and science is completely contrary to Islam. As they do not have the capacity to critique flaws of philosophy, in order to hide this failing and shortcoming of theirs, they concoct that it is not warrantable to study modern sciences at all. Their soul trembles at the name of philosophy and prostrates before new researches. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salam says, they have not been given the true philosophy which is generated from divine revelation, with which the Holy Quran is replete. That is only and only given to those and those alone who devote themselves to Allah the Exalted with extreme humility and morality, whose hearts and minds are rid of the stench of arrogant thoughts, who confess their weaknesses whilst acknowledging sincere devotion to God. Further, the promised Messiah ﷺ states, thus, it is required that today modern science is acquired for the purpose of service to faith and to communicate the word of God. And it is acquired with great endeavor. However, it has also been in my experience, and I mention this as a caution, that those people who get involved in these science single-mindedly, Hazur says, that is, they do not learn the religion, and he continues, and are so obsessed and engrossed that they do not keep the company of any spiritual people. They did not possess any divine light of their own accord. Such people usually stumble and become distant from Islam. Rather than making the sciences secondary to Islam, they tried in vain to make Islam secondary to the sciences, and in their assumption became providers of religious and natural services. However, remember that only that person can serve religion. That is, only that person can serve the religion who has heavenly light inside him. As Guru says, therefore we need to endeavor to acquire this heavenly light. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salam says, the reason I have said all of this is so that all of you who have a connection with me, and due to this connection have become parts of my body. As Guru says, now this being parts of his body is a great responsibility. This word that the promised Messiah alayhi salam has used, that those who have a connection with me, as a result of which have become limbs or parts of my body. Now limbs or parts of the body cannot work on their own. Whatever the brain or the mind directs, the body or the limbs follow. So therefore this is a huge responsibility on every Ahmadi. And all of us need to fulfill this expectation of the promised Messiah alayhi salam. We need to carry out those tasks that are in accordance with the true teachings of Islam and the Holy Quran, and which the promised Messiah on whom be peace has repeatedly advised us regarding in this time. Without this, we cannot do full justice to our pledge of allegiance. He says, you have become parts of my body, so act upon all of this. With intellect and the word of God, carry out your endeavor, so that true discernment and knowledge and the light of conviction can embed and establish within you, and so that you can become the means of removing people from darkness and bringing them into light. This is because the foundation for objections nowadays is on the basis of material criticisms and different researches and sciences. Therefore, it is necessary that you learn all of this, so that before you provide a reply, you can understand the reality of the criticism being made. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salam says, listen to what I say and remember it well, that if what one says is not from the sincerity of heart and does not have practical scope, it cannot be effective. As Guru says, whatever you want to say should be from sincerity of heart, and your act should be in accordance with what you say. Otherwise, it will have no impact. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says, the great truthfulness of our Prophet ﷺ is evident from exactly this. Because the success and winning of the hearts that he received a measure of has no equal in the entire history of mankind. All this came to pass because the Holy Prophet ﷺ's words and deeds conformed perfectly. As Guru says, therefore, it is our duty to endeavor to properly follow the blessed model of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. And this can only come about when our words match our deeds. It is then that, inshallah, God enabling, our efforts will bear excellent fruits and rewards. May Allah the Almighty enable us to fulfill this wish of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, that we may become those who propagate the religion, that we become those who show people the straight path, and that we fulfill the due of being his limbs or parts of his body. And may there never be contradiction in our word and deed. May we never be overwhelmed by the forces of the Antichrist and also materialistic knowledge. May Allah the Almighty enable us to understand this fundamental principle. Today, once again, I will lead a funeral prayer in absentia of Mogaddam Sultan of Agadez of Niger. He passed away on 21st February at the age of 75. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. His name was Al-Hajj Umar Ibrahim. In September 2002, he was unable to accept Ahmadiyyat. He was the biggest sultan in Niger, and he was the president of all the traditional rulers in Niger. He was also one of the four special members of the cabinet of the president. From the 15th century of the Islamic calendar, he began his Sultanate of Agadez. From 1960, he became the Sultan of Agadez. And in 91, he was a Sultan. So for approximately 51-52 years, he remained a Sultan. He was very well respected in Niger, where various turmoil and disorder often breaks out. He played a key role in establishing peace. In fact, he was a symbol of peace. He attended the Benin Jalsa in 2002 with his 12-strong entourage in a 2,500-kilometer journey. After the Jalsa, he remained in Benin for 1 week. And he visited different places with the Amir Sahib and saw Ahmadiyyat from close by. He expressed to Amir Sahib after that I want to do the Bayt, the Pledge of Allegiance, before I leave. So with his 12-strong entourage, they all entered the fold of Ahmadiyyat. And he said, seeing thousands of people offering prayer in the Benin Jalsa has caused me to be exuberant in joy. We come from a Muslim country, but we have never seen such a large gathering purely for the sake of Allah. In 2003, he attended the UK Jalsa Salana. This is the first time he met me. He was a person of high moral standing, a very friendly and loving person, and a possessor of great moral qualities. When he learned of the demise of Hazrat Khalifa Masih IV, he went to the Niyami Mission House himself. And he gave his condolences to the Murabbi in charge, the missionary in charge. He has 18 sons and 12 daughters because he had 4 or 5 marriages at different times. The missionary in charge Niger, Akbar Sahib, narrates that on 2 occasions he had the opportunity to visit Agdash, and that Sultan was extremely hospitable and he would greatly respect the missionary in charge. Whenever the Sultan came to the capital, he said, when I learnt of this, I would go to meet him and he would meet me most lovingly. He would always ask about the circumstances of the Jamaat and also about Khalifatul Masih. In April 2004, when I went on a tour of Benin, he came to Parako, that is the neighboring country of Niger, from where a delegation of 62 people had arrived. In this delegation included the late Sultan of Agadesh, in a delegation of 11 people, and a mulaqat or a meeting with me was held there. He informed me there that I had traveled for 3 or 4 days and nights to reach there. It is extremely difficult to travel in the desert. He carried out a journey of 2,000 or 2,500 kilometers to reach there. We discussed various things there. Photos were also taken. He was extremely happy. Amongst the Ahmadis of Niger, there is great sincerity, devotion and loyalty. Despite the fact that he was a sultan and he was amongst the most senior sultans, there was great humility and humbleness within him. May Allah the Almighty elevate his rank.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu. ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر